into teams of warriors, gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Golden Point. I'm Mac and I'm here with JC. This week we're going to be going through the usual segments. We're going to have the roundup, fan verdict, 60 seconds of trivia, question time, and who am I? So we'll kick things off with the roundup and we'll start with the quote of the week.
So quote of the week for this week, we've gone for Newcastle winger Nathan Ross, quoted as saying, "I want to play rep footy." Yeah, quite a brave statement by Ross. He's only really just burst into the first grade scene, I'd say, this year. He played a couple of games last year, but really, I guess, came to be known this year. And I, in my opinion, had a really good back end of the season. I think he started a little bit rusty. I mean, the whole team did. They had a pretty tough year, but I thought he finished the year really strongly. And I mean, it's a great thing to hear. It's a great, you know, you don't want to always just hear players saying, "Oh, look, I'm just taking it one game at a time. You know, like just trying to do my best for the club." It's nice to hear a player say, "Look, I've got higher aspirations than just playing club footy." And you know, best of luck to him.
Yeah, definitely. It's I remember at the start of the season, I heard a couple of people have rats on him, and I saw him play, and I thought, "Yeah, wasn't anything special." But he really did pick up the game towards the end of the season, as you said.
Yeah,
I think for him to be able to get to that point, he might, like, you know, City Country definitely could be a shot at. For State of Origin in Australia and those bigger rep games, I think he's going to need the Knights to play well as well. You know, he's going to have to rely on his teammates to help him, particularly being a winger. You know, it's tough to stand out if his team's struggling to score points.
Mm. I guess in his favour, James McManus played many games for New South Wales, coming from the Hunter. So, yeah, but no, look, City Country, I think, is definitely should be in his sights for next year. Mm. And that is a good stepping stone. But he's got blistering pace. And he has that drive that you want from a footy player. He seems to love being out there. And I also just love him on social media as well. He interacts with his fans, and yeah, he seems like a nice bloke.
Is he the guy that scored that acrobatic try in the corner for them earlier in the season?
He's definitely scored a few acrobatic ones. Yeah, I'm not sure
upside down exactly. Down and spun around like he was in a washing machine. And
I think that was him. Yeah.
All right, cool. Moving on to thumbs up. We've gone for the Broncos Cowboys round four, pretty much. You know, like they can't not have an amazing match. That match on the weekend was just insane. Like, I cannot believe how exciting it was, and to go the whole 90 minutes is just amazing.
Mm.
And I think another sort of add on to that is the extra time rule worked a treat.
Yeah,
so much better than Golden Point. I think that's the way they need to go.
Yeah, it was great to see it finally being used. And yeah, what a match. Just a great match. One of the best of the season. We possibly saw the grand final a couple of weeks earlier, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've all been spoiled.
So for thumbs down this week, we've gone for a bit of a different one. A little bit more of a criticism of one of rugby league's favourite social media users, Twitter users, the Mole. And it's not for anything, it's not for, you know, a lot of people are giving him a bit of a hard time during the week, and it's not for the exact same thing, but he told us on, was it Thursday night or Friday night, one of the two nights, he said, "In the next 48 hours, there's going to be a big story break about a big NRL coach." He was right, it was a big NRL coach, it did break, but it was not a big story by any means. It was Wayne Bennett getting a divorce. And look, sure, Mole didn't break the story. He just said it was coming, and that's fine. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not bad-mouthing him saying, "Oh, don't talk about people's personal lives." My issue is, it wasn't a big story.
Yeah.
Molly, you're better than that. Come on. it was not a big story at all. A lot of people follow the Mole on Twitter. I'd say most rugby league folk do follow him on Twitter. He's a fairly reliable source for most things. He's always got the foot in the door for most people do, but in this case he amped us up a little bit. And I just wanted to say to old Mole, I'm sure he listens to the podcast, I think he's a big fan, you're a bit better than that, Paul.
it was definitely anticlimactic, I guess, when I found out what it was. I was hoping so much that we were, well, I wasn't hoping for something bad to be happening, but I was expecting something more serious to happen with either like the betting scandal or something like that.
Yeah,
so like, you know, your mind goes everywhere with that, and that would have been the last thing I would have guessed.
And I think the frustration, I mean, it's not an overall frustration, I don't really care too much, but we're kind of struggling for a thumbs down this week. The more so frustration comes from just rugby league journalists on the internet. They use the breaking yeah, too often. Yeah. You know, a big story, and then it just eventuates to be nothing, or it's a tiny little story. And rugby league has its fair share and a few other people's fair shares of big stories. So I don't think we need to overemphasize topics when they're there. I just think these kind of ones can be swept under the rug. We don't need a pre-warning 48 hours earlier saying that there's something about to break that's going to be massive.
I guess if we struggle with a thumbs down, probably means slow news week.
It's a good thing for rugby league.
Let's get the breaking out there. Well, yeah, it's a great thing for rugby league. All right, so big week four. We've gone for Chad Townsend, obviously being pulled from the game against the Storm earlier. Or the Cowboys, sorry. No. Did they play?
No,
the Raiders. Raiders. Being pulled from that, Jack Bird replacing him. It's obviously he's got to come back and he's got to play well for 80 minutes and hope it doesn't happen again, because that could spell trouble for the future.
Yeah,
but I'd imagine it's been a big wake up call for him that just being there all year doesn't mean you're guaranteed a spot.
Yeah, no, I don't think his spot's necessarily under pressure. It just means that you know, he does need to perform, like you said, for the 80 minutes. He's been great all year, and you know, he had a bit of a lackluster start to the game. The Sharks had a bit of a lackluster start to the game, and great move from the coach to bring him off. Doesn't mean it has to happen every week. It just wasn't working for him on the day.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You don't need breaking storylines when something gets dropped like that. All right, cool. So that is the roundup all done. We're going to move on to fans' verdict.
Alrighty, so we got three this week. So first one up, we had story came out last week about the Women's World Cup. It's going to be played side by side with the Men's World Cup in 2017, next year. So we asked the question, the games are at Shark Park. Do you see yourself going to a Women's World Cup match?
I think I definitely would. Kat seems to want to as well. I'd definitely be very keen. I've never been to a live women's match, and from what I've seen on TV, they're very entertaining. So.
Sexist. I can't believe you haven't been to one yet.
No, I'm sorry.
Rude. You're the one that's holding the game back.
Only me, no one else.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I would love to go. I think it would be fantastic.
Yep, I'd definitely go too. So the fans have agreed, but only slightly. 52% have said yes, and 48% have said no.
Yeah.
Concerning.
No, I mean, it being at Shark Park probably means that geographically it's hard for a lot of fans that are out of the area to go, so you've got quite a few no's there. But
we didn't get a huge response rate to this one, though, so I'd like to think that people that responded were people that it's within their means to go to Shark Park.
Mm.
But a little bit disappointing, but it kind of reflects the... we had a couple of women's rugby league fans' verdicts earlier in the season, and they all were fairly split there between yes or no. And you know, I don't think the women's game has a lot of interest from the current rugby league fan base, but let's hope moving forward it builds and builds and builds.
It's definitely building. What, just as a matter of interest, what do you think? Like, do you think doing a World Cup for women's league is probably jumping the gun a little bit before an actual competition is set up? Or do you think it's okay to do that?
Yeah, I think it's probably okay because. Yeah. You know, from each of the teams. I'm not sure how many teams are playing in it. I'm guessing it's going to be less than the men's one, but it's probably better to get the collective best from the country rather than trying to segregate that into sort of eight more teams, which is going to be a lot harder on a domestic level.
Mm.
We'll see the best of each country, which will be good, because then I guess if we do have a women's game in the future, hopefully we'll be able to bring some of those international players into our domestic game as well.
That's very true.
All right, so moving on to the second one. We've got four teams left in the competition. Obviously, Storm, Raiders, Sharks, and Cowboys. Who wins it from here?
It's hard to go past the Storm. Storm and Cowboys, I'd say, would be my favourites. The ones I want to see are the Sharks or the Raiders. But at this stage, I'd say the Storm are the ones in my mind are the favourites to win it.
Yeah, logic says Storm. I'm going to say Sharks. I think.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think they want it. I think their fans want it. They're going to get them over the line. So a good split between the fans' verdicts here. We got Storm at 33%, Raiders at 26%, Sharks at 23%, and Cowboys at 18%.
Wow.
Yeah, surprising. But I mean, I guess, like we said earlier, Cowboys had a tough game last week.
Yeah.
Sharks are firing. They're looking to get the team in their first grand final in quite a long time. So it's going to be a hard week for the Cowboys. But
yeah. Crazy.
All right. So that's the second one done. And the last one for this week. We had Robbie Farah signed for South Sydney this week, just gone by, which means that Cameron McInnes and Damien Cook are moving elsewhere. Who is the best recruit out of those three guys?
I think Cameron McInnes. It's odd him going there and having to share time with Rain, assuming that Rain is staying at the Dragons. But it's been a huge shake-up for the whole hooking position. Where's Damien Cook going? Can he sign elsewhere?
He hasn't signed, but there's a strong word that he's going to the Sharks.
Okay. He's a great utility to pick up because he plays off the bench and he plays very well in that position, whereas the other guys I would consider the 80-minute hookers.
Yeah, but Cook did finish the season a hooker for the Souths, and he also did for the Bulldogs last year.
Yeah, out of those three, I think McInnes probably has the most potential.
Fair enough. I'd go Cook for sure. Yeah, I think he showed at the back end of this season, and like I said, last season, the back end of that year, when he's given that sort of 60 to 80 minute role, he really thrives. Both teams looked better in 2015, the Dogs, 2016, the Souths. They both looked better teams when he finally came into the starting team. He gave him that extra spark, added dummy half, bit of attacking flair. So yeah, I think he's going to be a great pickup. If the Sharks get him, I mean, he's a fantastic replacement for Ennis, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
McKenna's second, being a younger guy. And Farrah, yeah, it's an interesting one.
What is South Sydney thinking?
Like,
honestly, you have two great young
ones. Yeah.
And you get rid of them for a guy that's going to retire in a year or two that
has,
like, arguably destroyed a club.
It's a weird choice. I'm not sure what they're thinking. I haven't seen too many South fans be too happy about it. The Cat is very vocal this week. He really wants his say.
Not a Farrah fan.
No. But the fans have agreed with me this week. So we've got Farrah 19%, Damien Cook 66%, and Cameron McInnes 15%.
Yeah. All right. So that is fans' verdict all done. We're going to move on to 60 seconds of trivia. So for those of you who are listening to the podcast for the first time or haven't heard this segment before, essentially, I have 60 seconds to answer 5 questions that JC has come up with. And the record, I believe... Well, actually, no, we've got a couple of 5 and 5 a few times.
So. Yeah, we've both got it, yeah.
Yeah, coming to the end of the season, in the past, I found it hard to come up with questions with so few games. But
yeah,
it gets a bit easier, I think.
So we'll kick things off in 3, 2, 1. How many points were scored in week 2 of the finals?
104.
Incorrect. What was the combined crowd for week 2 of the finals, plus or minus 1,000?
I would say, let's go with 74,000.
Incorrect. Out of the 4 goal kickers, how many had perfect kicking games?
3.
Correct. Only 1 player scored 2 tries on the weekend. Who was it?
It would be Rapana?
Correct. No. How many tries were scored on the weekend?
25. Right, that's a way too
many. Incorrect. How many points were scored in week 2 of the finals?
60.
Incorrect. What was the combined crowd for week 2 of the finals?
54,000.
Incorrect. Only 1 player scored 2 tries in the weekend. Who was it?
I don't know.
That is time.
So it doesn't get easier. It gets harder.
It does quite possibly get harder, yes. Alright, so let's go through them. How many points are scored in week 2 of the finals? So we had 26-20 and we had 22-12. So it was 80 points in total.
Oh yeah. Okay.
What was the combined crowd for week 2 of the finals, plus minus 1,000? So we had, I think it was around 44,000 and 41,000, give or take a bit. So it was, 24, 21. So okay. The total was 45. So I would have accepted. No, I've written here, that's what I wrote. I wrote 44 and 46 because that's what I was going to accept.
Oh, okay.
So it was it was about 21 and 23 odd or so. So around 45,000. You correctly said that the 3 goal kickers had perfect games. Interesting enough, the only one that didn't was Jonathan Thurston. Wow. He missed 1 goal. Only 1 player scored 2 tries on the weekend. Who was it? It was Justin O'Neill. He scored 2 versus the Broncos, 2 late tries to get the Cowboys over the line. How many tries were scored on the weekend? We had 4 tries versus 3 tries and 3 tries versus 2 tries. So it was 12 tries in total.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I answered 25, didn't I?
You did indeed.
That's probably way too many.
I don't know if you're watching a few extra games on the weekend or something.
That was just like my brain dying in front of me.
That was quite a way off.
It was just a high-pitched scream going on. All right, trivia is done for another week, another embarrassing week. And we're going to move on to question time. All right, JC, you can kick us off.
All right. So, should the NRL be concerned if Allianz isn't full on Friday?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe not full, but it should be definitely three quarters full, I would say. If it's anything less than that, then there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, yeah. Look, it holds, what, 45 odd. I'd say anything under 40 is definitely a concern for them. You know, they've obviously taken it away from Shark Park and said they couldn't have it there. So if they only get close to what Shark Park holds, which isn't much, it's only less than 20,000, but if they don't get, I'd say, at least 10,000 more than that, then the Sharks definitely have a right to be pretty annoyed, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we saw Tamalolo pretty much take over the Cowboys game, and we saw Joseph Paulo terrorize Paul, young Nathan Cleary, and have a real dominating effect on the game. Do you think having one of those big bolstering strong forwards is better for your team, or having an elite back, so like 1-5? What do you think has more impact on the game?
So would I pick an elite back, or would I pick the damaging right forward?
That's a good way to ask.
Well, yeah, it's tough. I mean, it really depends on the makeup of the rest of your team, I think. Mm. I think it's tough. It's very tough. I'm going to go with the forward. I'm going to go with someone like a Tamalolo. I think he is just an absolute superstar, that guy. He gets a lot of raps, but I don't think he gets as many raps as he should get. He has such a good team around him. They've obviously got Thurston and Michael Morgan and whatnot around them who get a lot of raps. But Tamalolo, he dominates. And when they need him, he really stands up. Versus Brisbane on the weekend, they really needed big meters, and he just kept going.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how he has any energy left. He's about 120, 130 kilos. So he's just a wrecking ball. Yeah, and yeah, but I mean, having a great back as well is a fantastic thing. You look at someone like a Tedesco who can just break a game wide open, or a Jared Hayne. That's one for this week. I'd go forward in this day and age. I think they can really help you out when you need it. They're also there in defense.
I don't think they rely on other players around them as much either, whereas a back may need a established like spine to be able to do more.
So. Yeah. No, that's a good point. So out of the two games this weekend, four teams, who would you say is the biggest underdog?
I would say the Raiders. I think while obviously they've had a fantastic year, coming in against the Storm, definitely underdogs there. And just out of the four teams, I think they're the ones that people want to see do it, but don't see it happening.
Yeah.
For me. Obviously, the Sharks are a little bit as well, but mainly the Raiders.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Coming up against the Storm, who just, most times throughout the year, they just look unbeatable. I know the Raiders did actually beat them, but they know how to win in finals football.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a tough one for the Raiders, especially going down to Melbourne.
Yeah, that's such a tough ask after 2 weeks at home, where you sort of feel a bit comfortable with that than going into enemy territory. It's definitely going to be tough for them.
Yeah.
All right, so last week I asked you some free agent players, where you think they'd go best.
Mm.
I wanted the same for some coaches as well that are on the market.
Okay.
All right, so Ivan Cleary.
The Bulldogs.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's time to get rid of Dez over at the Dogs, and I think someone youthful and, I guess, with a better sense of the modern game, you know, Ivan Cleary would be quite good there.
Okay. Jeff Toovey.
Ooh, Toovs. Where would Toovs go well? It's hard to imagine Jeff Toovey anywhere else but Manly, to be honest with you. I think he'd be great going back to Manly. I don't think they should have gotten rid of him in the first place.
Yeah. I'd like to see him at the Dragons or something like that. I think he's light a spark under a lot of those players. And
yeah, maybe. Out of them. I just can't see it. Jeff Toovey's Manly. He's Manly through and through. I just can't see him anywhere else.
Yeah, that's true. Matt Elliott. If he was to make a return to coaching.
Yeah. I don't know. Gosford Goennis?
Yeah, I was thinking something along
those lines. I feel bad for him. They probably don't deserve him. I mean, they haven't been bad enough to deserve him. No, look, I don't know. He's doing all right in the current role of NRL, doing those little videos he does. Let's just leave him.
Make sure he doesn't leave. Brad Fittler.
I don't think he's considered a coach anymore, to be honest with you. But he's
had a year or two.
I'll humour you.
Yeah, no, I've got one more humorous one.
But again, I just don't. No, I don't. I don't think I'd want to do that to a team. I just don't think he's a fantastic coach, to be honest with you. I'd say to the team I don't like, Roosters. Send him back to the Roosters.
Yeah, I think he has potential to be a good coach. I think he's matured a bit since his first run, so I'd like to see him come back and give it another go.
I just see him. He's a coach that really likes his favourites, and a lot of the time, I see through his City selections, and just the stuff he says on Channel 9. I think a lot of the time, he says things when they're part of his boy club, and it's hard for him to sway from it, I think.
Okay. All right, last one, Andrew McFadden. No, he's not head coach anymore. If he was to leave the Warriors.
Andrew McFadden.
A better question is he an NRL coach?
Yeah, he probably is. I don't think we've seen enough, to be honest with you. You know, sure, he had two seasons at the Warriors, but yeah, I'd say he's an NRL coach. I'd give him another go somewhere. Probably a team that's struggling would be better than a team that's on top or anything like that, or a team that has a great team on paper. Like maybe someone like the Knights. Like, I don't know, obviously they're not looking for a coach because Nathan Brown isn't going anywhere, but maybe somewhere like that where, you know, maybe he can mold the team a little bit better than he could the Warriors. There's a lot of players there that have been there for a long time, so maybe he just couldn't put his twist on them.
And give him a chance to develop along with the players, I guess.
That's true, yeah.
All right, so that's my list of coaches that are currently free agents, shortlist.
All right, this is a weird one. We had the Olympics recently. We've got the Paralympics on at the moment. And in a lot of the team sports, they have a third place playoff.
Okay, yeah.
What do you think about the idea of that coming into the NRL? It's a bit weird, but
I didn't
have another question, so.
I think it would be good. I would like to actually see it. I think it would be interesting. I don't know if the fans would get behind it, though. I think that's the big thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know, if you could take it to maybe like an area that needs a bit of NRL injected into it, use it for that sort of thing. But
yeah,
it's, I don't know.
It'd be interesting, you know, once your team drops out, they get one more week.
I think if they could tier like prize money and stuff like that, I don't know if there is prize money for teams that finish third and fourth.
Yeah, there is.
It depends on what level they get to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, if they could put some money into it, I think clubs would get behind it.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting little marketing ploy, maybe.
Yeah. So, three of the four NRL clubs left are outside New South Wales, which means there's a high chance that we're going to have a non-New South Wales grand final again. Do you think that's good or bad for the NRL?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's quite good. I think NRL is obviously too New South Wales-centric at the moment. It has been forever. I don't know if it's good news for the NRL for them to be 100% non-New South Wales. I think probably the Sharks in there with another team would be good. Like, they don't want it to be Sydney, which it's not going to be, obviously. But, I think either way it's a good and a bad thing. It helps get exposure to a different area that isn't Sydney, because Sydney obviously gets a lot of exposure. But at the same time, immediate success, it's good because they'll get better ratings, better ticket sales, all that kind of stuff. So it's probably a plus-plus at this point, the NRL. A positive either way, because they can get exposure elsewhere, which will be better long-term, or they'll get exposure straight away, which will mean they'll get better sales and all that kind of stuff. So probably win-win is the term I was looking for.
Do you think it affects ticket sales at all?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So they're down if it's not New South Wales films, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think if Melbourne make it again, they'll probably struggle to get 80,000 there.
Yeah, I could definitely say that. But yeah.
All right.
I think people want to see them win.
My last question. It's pretty much similar to your question there, but what is the best grand final for the NRL?
From a fan's perspective, I think the Sharks and the Raiders. I think it's something I haven't seen for a while. It's something that'll get people excited. They'll want to see either team win, and it'll get people behind them. I guess the Storm being in it against the Sharks, saying it could be a bit of a villain against the underdog style thing, but I don't know. I'd like to see a Sharks Raiders grand final.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of, it kind of, no offense to either team that's in it, I actually quite like both teams. I hope they do both make it. But if it was Sharks Canberra, it somewhat diminishes the season, in a weird way, because I think in most people's minds, the Sharks and the Raiders aren't the two best teams of the season, which it seems weird because the Sharks were on top for a long time and the Raiders came second. But I think when people think best teams in NRL, they think Melbourne, they think Cowboys, they think the Broncos.
Yeah.
I think without having one of them in there, it kind of gives it that 2005 feel where it's like the top teams have kind of stumbled.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing for the NRL, but in a weird kind of way, I think it does kind of twist it and makes it look a little bit odd.
Yeah, but, I guess.
But I obviously agree with your point that, I think the fan bases will get more behind the grand final if it is the Sharks and the Raiders.
I think it's got a far better chance of being a more exciting game as well if the Storm are in there.
Yeah, I agree.
But, yeah. All right, my last one. Which players from each team do you think needs to stand out the most this weekend?
All right, so Canberra, I'm not going to say Josh Hodgson. I think he's going to stand out. It doesn't matter. And I'm going to say Blake Austin. And they really need him to bring in his spark and his energy to the game. If he can score a try, I think the Raiders win.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how the Raiders go. If Austin's on fire, the rest of the team seems to be on fire. Melbourne, pick anyone you want, really, but Cooper Cronk, if he's on, I'll probably win. Cowboys, I'm going to say someone, going back to what we were just talking about, someone like Tamalolo. If he's racking up 200 metres or something like that, good chance that they'll win. If he's getting them sort of, you know, across the halfway line and the ball staying down the other end, then it's going to be hard to beat them.
Yeah.
And the Sharks, it's a tricky one. Paul Gallen, yeah, the old guy. If he's leading from the front, the rest will stand up and follow him, I think. And just as a side note, I think Mick Ennis as well. If he's having a good game, then he generally brings players with him into that next realm of goodness. Go English.
That is the technical term. No, I agree. I think those pivotal players really, really do need to step up. All right, so we're going to move question time. We're going to move into the final segment, which is Who Am I? Those of you playing at home, I've picked a player or a coach who has played or coached in the past 10 years. They have played or coached over 100 games, and I think that's about it. So I've got 10 clues as well, so JC has that to try and guess it in. The record is 4. All right. I've only played for the Penrith Panthers in the NRL. I've represented both my country and my state. My last game in the NRL was 1996. I moved to Salford and played only 6 games after that. So that's 3.
Okay. So, last game in the NRL was in 1996.
Yep.
Only played for the Penrith Panthers.
Yep.
And what else did you say?
Represented both country and state.
Country and state. All right. So, that's interesting. So... yeah. All right. No, I'm not going to have a stat.
All right. In my first State of Origin match, I was played out of position due to injury. This resulted in me being dropped after 1 match.
Interesting. All right.
I won 1 premiership as a player and 2 as an assistant coach.
Okay. So, if he's only played for Penrith and he's won in the early 90s, if his last game in the NRL was in 96...
All right.
And sorry, what was the second part of that?
And I've won 2 premierships as an assistant coach.
Okay, that's interesting. Just let me clear something up before we go ahead. When we say you're a coach in the NRL in the last 10 years, you mean proper coach, not assistant coach.
Yeah. I made my representative coaching debut before my actual coaching a first grade team.
All right. That's interesting. Okay.
I've been the assistant coach to Ricky Stewart, John Lang, Paul Green, and 1 other NRL coach, which I'm not going to name because it will give it away.
All right. Yeah, I'm not really... can't think of anyone right now. Okay, yep.
I've only been the head coach for 1 NRL club.
Yep.
So we're up to 9. This is the 9th one. I played second row throughout my career.
Sorry, can you just go over the clues again, please?
Yeah, sure. All right. So I'll start with 1. So I only played for Penrith in the NRL. I represented both my country and my state. My last game in the NRL was in 1996. I moved to Salford and only played 6 games after that. In my first State of Origin match, I was played out of position due to injury. This resulted in being dropped after 1 match. I won 1 premiership as a player and 2 as an assistant coach. I made my rep coaching debut before coaching a first grade team. I've been the assistant coach to Ricky Stewart, John Lang, Paul Green, and 1 other NRL coach. I have only been the head coach of 1 NRL club, and I played second row throughout my career. 1 left.
Yeah, I have an idea of who it might be, but I may as well just
begin.
Okay, well. Yeah, I'm not. There's a lot of things I don't know about this person, but there's one person I can think of. I'm not. No, I'll hear the last one.
Do you want me to give you that other NRL coach before I give you the last one? Just to.
All right.
So the other NRL coach he's been an assistant to is Trent Barrett.
Yeah. So it's John Cartwright.
It is John Cartwright. So the final clue was I coached the Gold Coast Titans from 2007 to 2014.
Very good. Yeah, didn't know a lot of that information, to be honest with you. Didn't know he was assistant coach at that many places.
Yeah, no, he started out in early 2000s with the Roosters and then moved to Penrith. He coached the USA in 2004 as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's definitely one that was tripping me up. So I was thinking it obviously wasn't New South Wales or Australia or Queensland. I was thinking, okay, so what other rep games could you coach? I was thinking, I don't know a lot of the older city country coaches. I couldn't tell you who would have coached there. And I was thinking, who's been the All-Stars coaches? But, that's an interesting one. How does he qualify? I guess you don't need to qualify for a country to coach him.
It was a funny one. I got about halfway through doing the clues to that one, and I was like, maybe I should do someone else because I was struggling kind of with them. But in the end, I got a 10.
How many NRL games did he play?
It was just under 200. I think it was like 180 something. Hmm. So he had quite a few injuries. Which actually, because he only played rep football between I think it was 89 and 92 or something like that.
Hmm.
And then he obviously got problems with knees and. Yep. All that fun stuff.
Head, shoulders.
Yeah.
Head all, and toes.
It all happens. But I think someone that I was going to include in my question time question about a coach to come back in, I was like, damn, I can't do that because it'll put your mind to it. So, I think someone I'd like to see come back in the NRL as a coach. I think he'd do very well at that.
Yeah, I liked him at the Titans, but it seems like he probably doesn't want the stress of that anymore and assistant coaching. I guess he won 2 premierships as assistant coach, maybe that's treating him better.
Yeah. Cool. All right. That is episode 30 in the bag. We'll come back with 31 next week, and then that'll be the penultimate one, I think. Yeah.
The last one.
We'll have one after the grand final, but who knows?
Oh, okay.
We'll decide.
We haven't discussed that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, there we go. So next week, maybe the last episode. Who knows? See you next week.
You've just listened to The Golden Point. Well done.